Whale folks, welcome to another week here at Dan's Dabble and Babble. My name is Dan Burkett and I am your host. We've got another solo babble and I have finally done it. I have finally reached new echelons of basicity. That's right, hashtag basic. You know, does anybody say hashtag and then follow up with the word? Because, you know, my friends and I in college would totally say that ironically, even though we definitely weren't saying it ironically at all. But I feel like there was a whole moment in culture where you would say that you were doing things ironically, even though they were things that you just wanted to do. And everybody just needs to chill out and just relax and do the things that you want to do. I mean, am I right? Well, whatever the case may be on that front, I have reached new levels of being basic because this weekend I did what we all aspire to do at some point, and that is, okay, let me set it up. Let me set this up properly like a podcast host would, because that is what I am. That is what I do. I host the podcast. So, you know, there is a certain type of person, which I wish I remembered now, but there was an interview that I listened to where this woman, it was an interview on the Michelle Collins Show, because what else do I do with my time other than listen to the Michelle Collins Show? But Michelle Collins was interviewing someone, and you can always tell, well, maybe the normies can't, but the real mishheads can tell when Michelle is like actually into an interview or if she's just like, okay, getting through it. And honestly, I have a whole theory about what's going on with the Michelle Collins Show right now that is a little disconcerting, but I'm just going to bide my time. I did, just reach the point where it was like my yearly time to cancel SiriusXM Radio, because word to the wise out there, if you are interested in Sirius or have ever had Sirius, always start on a promotional value, and then when your promo ends up, if you call and cancel, so they're getting crafty now actually, because if you call and cancel, they will automatically try and give you a new promotion. So you can't like go on and just cancel your account on the app or online. You have to actually call in, which always used to really annoy me. But then like, if you just keep on saying no that you want to cancel, you get better and better deals. So I've never really been at the point where I really, really want to cancel, because I do listen to it every day and it's really not that expensive on the promotional deal. It's gotten more expensive. It used to be like $30 for 6 months, but the thing is it's $30 and then like they have all of these fees and stuff. So then it's really like $45 for 6 months. Now I think I'm paying like $10 a month with the promotion, but it's like whatever, $10 drop in the bucket. That's $2.50 a week for over 10 hours of content that I listen to each week. So, you know, to me, it's worth it. I'm not here to justify my SiriusXM subscription. I did not come here to get attacked. If you want to talk to me about my SiriusXM subscription, you can do that on Twitter at BabblingDan. Let me know what you think about how I'm spending my money on SiriusXM, I guess, if you want. But anyway, you'll call in. And so now they will automatically offer you the promotion, which I'm like, oh, I see right through this. So it's an automated system, and they say, you know, like, we'll give you a promotional deal for X amount of dollars, whatever. It's like, no. I see right through this, still want to cancel. I get through to the person, and like the thing is they're always like, why do you want to cancel? And I'm like, well, the regular rate is just too expensive, blah, blah, blah. And it is. It's like, I think if you don't pay attention to it, like if you let your, so this is the trick with the promos, is you really have to be good about, like I always just set a reminder on my phone of when it's time to cancel. Because you do have to be really good about that, because They are really difficult. There's been a couple of times where I've lapsed and I get charged the regular amount for the renewal, and it's absurd. It's like well over $30 a month, probably closer to like $40 or $45 a month now. And I'm sure there's a number of people who are like, whatever, doesn't matter. I listen to it, and they probably barely even know that they're getting charged. And, you know, I have missed it once or twice in the past, but I've always called and complained and gotten the money back, whatever, and then get a new promotional deal. You always have to be willing. So, well, actually, I'm not even sure it's true anymore. Years ago, you had to be willing to let your subscription lapse because they would always send you another promotion if you let your subscription lapse. Now, I don't even really think that you have to let your subscription lapse, because they are always, always, always going to offer you something. So anyway, but don't take the automated deal. Go and talk to a person. And I almost wonder if I could have talked them down more, but whatever. I got the deal that I got. And part of that is, so now they offer it month to month for 12 months. It used to be you would have to buy like 6 months or 12 months at a time to get the deal. And I was like, whatever, I'm going to do it because, again, I listen to this every day, all the time. So let's see. With Michelle Collins, I'm glad that I'm month to month because I just have a sneaking suspicion that she may not be on the air. And maybe it's just like a deep fear of mine that she's not going to be on the air, or she won't be on the air as much. So here's the thing. Michelle Collins lived in New York, and I literally did not even plan on talking about any of this, but now I have to talk about all of it. So Michelle Collins lived in New York, and she, through the pandemic, was very open about her anxiety, which I think, like, she took the pandemic very seriously, and New York, of course, was very shut down. And I mean, it's a different vibe living in New York, where you're literally living on top of people and like dealing with the subway to get around and whatever. But throughout the pandemic, she has not had to go into the studio, and it sounds like she may never have to go into the studio again. So she was doing the show from her apartment basically forever and ever. And then, I don't know, it's probably been about a year now. She was like, I can't handle the rent prices in New York. They're going up and up and up. She like needed a different apartment. So her stuff is in a storage unit in Hackensack, New Jersey. And she went down, she's originally from Miami, she stayed in Miami for a while, but now she's basically been traveling in Europe to the point where she's hosted the Today Show recently, and Hoda referred to her as living in Europe, said that she moved to Europe. And I mean, she doesn't have an apartment over there either. She's staying in Airbnbs and hotels and whatever. I do think she's trying to make things happen in London. I think she's trying to make something more permanent happen in London. But basically, since she's had this Europe thing, she's been called back to the Today Show several times. So I am wondering if she's going to get a job, as I can't see her being like offered a full-time gig right out the gate. I mean, she is a former View co-host, and she has been a guest host on the Fourth Hour of Today, but I see her more as being like a consultant role, almost like what Jesse Palmer was on Good Morning America a few years ago. I haven't watched Good Morning America in a long time. Good Morning America was one of my saving graces in grad school. There were certain rituals that I just had to have in grad school, really, to keep my sanity. So it was really nice once I reached the point where, I wasn't taking classes anymore, because then I could be on a somewhat normal schedule, or I would try my best to put myself on a normal working schedule. Because a lot of my friends in grad school just, so one, setting boundaries in grad school is basically impossible. And I know that I've talked about some of this before, but I don't know. I am very plugged in on academic Twitter. So I just revisit a lot of these feelings a lot sometimes. And that's oxymoronic, or maybe just moronic for me to say I revisit these a lot sometimes. But anyway, I revisit how I felt during that time a lot sometimes I said it again. I revisit them a lot when I'm on Twitter because I feel like I had a subpar graduate school experience. I do not like my graduate school advisor. That is something that it's not even worth going into here. And it's not even about my ultimate degree or anything like that. Like, I know that I'm a very competent chemist and got a lot of out of grad school because of myself, but there were so many things about my program that were toxic for no reason. So a lot of my peers would work these insane hours, and like my best friend in grad school would work overnights all the time. And I'm talking like he would go like 20-hour stretches in the lab. It was insane because he had such an insane workload compared to his lab mates. And the thing is he would always deliver. So then the expectation of his advisor was always more, 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 more. His advisor, by the way, did not get tenure. That's a whole different story. He should have gotten tenure, but his package came down to a committee vote, the tenure committee within the department, and the department voted him down on tenure, which is just insane. He had, I mean, millions of dollars of grants, an insane publication record. But also the way he treated grad students and the way the privilege that he came from with grad school was next level. He was like, he would tell students, myself included, that you have the rest of your career to make money. Why are you trying to rush the grad school process? And it's like, I'm not trying to rush the grad school process, but I came to grad school to get a marketable set of skills and to contribute to the body of science. Like, that was all part of it. But I also want to contribute to the body of science and have health insurance and be able to, like, you know, live more than I didn't want to feel like I was scraping by. I mean, I have, anyway, that that is a whole another digression. I have to tell you, folks, I just got on the mic and started going today. I don't even know where this fire is coming from echelons, from reaching new echelons of being basic to me just really going on the fire. But so anyway, juxtaposed to my peers in graduate school, there's me. And I really wanted to maintain a normal work schedule as much as possible because, you know, I saw myself as a functional adult, especially by the time that I had advanced to candidacy. So in chemistry graduate school, depending on your program, you'll take classes for as few as a year, as much as 2 years. I was in a program that I had to take classes for 2 years. So after that first 2 years, when I was done with classes, and you're only taking like two classes at a time as a graduate student, sounds like a light load. It's not a light load because A, graduate classes are just an insane amount of content that you're expected to learn. And keep in mind that the classes don't actually matter in chemistry graduate school. It's your research portfolio. And on top of your research portfolio, you have your teaching load and office hours and all of these other things that just come up that you have to do as a graduate student. So, and the thing is those schedules are made based on basically just when people are available. So they're made around your teaching schedules and all of that. So you end up having classes at times like 5:30 to 7:30 on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And that's PM for the record, not AM. But so you're on campus late. You have to be like, a lot of people would stay after those classes and continue working. I would always strive to like plan my day so that after class, I would be able to just go home. Because I mean, I had to, I had to, but anyway, so there were other just rituals that became important to me for me to really just keep, sanity. I almost feel like is, I don't know if it's overselling or underselling how I was feeling at that time. It was really more to have a semblance of humanity because, again, I did feel like I was an adult person. I always felt when I was interacting with people in the quote unquote real world that people didn't really know what to do with me. Like they would, understand that I wasn't an undergrad exactly, but they're like, oh, you're still a student. So they would make jokes about like, it's a school night or whatever. And it's like, no, but like, you don't understand. Like, I'm really just like going in and doing a lot of research. Like, I go in and I work in a lab for 10 hours a day. It's not like I'm going to school. Like, there are days that I like don't see anybody that's not on the sixth floor of the Kim building type of a thing. It was very difficult. And on top of this, this is just a side note, because I would try to keep a reasonable, like just normal working schedule. Like, I would probably get in at 8:30 and leave at 6:30 on most days, except for days that we had super group, which was when three until it became four research groups would come together and one person would present a paper and then one person would present their research. And it was nominally scheduled for an hour and a half. Girl, there was not a time that we did not, that it did not run for more than 2.5 hours, because the professors would just ream the person that was presenting the paper. Eventually, I got good at that, because it's like your first year, it's just complete trial by fire. And no one is there to provide you any guidance ahead of time. It's like everything was a gotcha moment. But I just, like, out of sheer anxiety, just made my literature presentations sterling until probably about my last year. I was like, you know, when I'm going to present a paper, I'm not going to stress. Because the thing is you have to pick the paper, which is like, okay, so I understand it as an exercise in, in training academics of being able to sift through and understand what's a relevant paper, but you also have to be shown that. I mean, so I should also mention that the four research groups had very tenuous through lines into how we were connected. So two of us had some med chem interests. My group had some med chem in addition to organometallic catalysis interests. And then there was the fourth group, which I don't even remember. My last year was this professor's first year. I don't really remember what type of stuff he was doing, but I know it was methodology that was very different than the other three groups. So it's like, okay, so as a first year grad student trying to pick a paper that that appeals to all of these groups, and even knowing what's relevant, knowing what is a challenging enough paper and all of that. And so at the end, you know, like my third and fourth year, I was deep enough in my own research that I was doing research on inhibitors of a metabolic enzyme. So I would just read papers about other inhibitors of metabolic enzymes and read papers that were talking about synthesis of molecules that inhibit the other metabolic enzymes, because it was like, you know, I am just going to stay within my wheelhouse and I just, whatever. And then there was the research where you would just get totally, totally reamed. But it was like, okay, do you want me to spend 8 hours in a week preparing a presentation on my research, or do you want me to spend that time actually getting data that I'm eventually going to publish? But anyway, I digress from all of that. So one of the rituals that was near and dear to me is I would wake up early enough to have a cup of coffee, and I would wake up with Good Morning America, and I would watch Good Morning America every day. It was a real treat when there was, for some reason, I would be able to, I know what it was. So I, most of the time when I was teaching, I started requesting the teaching schedule of my first lab would be 1 to 5 o'clock, and then my second lab would be 5:30 to 9:30. And I started doing that for a couple of reasons. Is one, there, like, if I taught 1 to 5, I would have to go back to the lab after teaching. And when you're teaching a lab for 4 hours, you are on your feet for 4 hours. And especially teaching an organic chemistry lab, those students are incredibly needy. They need you every minute, every moment of the lab. And that was super rewarding. I loved it, but I could not go and do research after that. So by doing back-to-back labs, all the professors were gone by the time that I was leaving at 9:30. And it also gave me an excuse most of the time to be able to sleep in a little bit. I would watch Live with Kelly, formerly Kelly and Michael, now Kelly and Ryan, and have my coffee and just enjoy it. And I was like, okay, those were what I need, especially in the winters in Milwaukee, just to feel like a person. I needed to have those moments. But anyway, Michelle Collins, Today Show, Good Morning America. My fear is that, so Michelle Collins keeps on getting called to fill in for people on the Today Show. My fear is that they're going to pick her up. And if she works for the Today Show, which like is probably a step up above Sirius and is probably her dream, the hours don't work with her Sirius show. She's not going to be able to do it. So I don't think you guys understand like how much of I love the Michelle Collins show. So I really need that to not happen. But I'm also kind of like, I don't know. It's I've been getting frustrated because she's in Europe, she's on a different time zone, she's traveling often. There are a lot of times where things will just happen. And for now, SiriusXM is apparently telling their hosts that they never have to come back to the studio. So she's not getting as many celebrity interviews anymore because my theory with that is because they can't book people that far in advance because they can't rely that there isn't going to be something that happens where she's not able to make it to the air. And like, she should just move back to New York or move to one of the cities that has a SiriusXM radio station and just go in studio. But wherever she goes, she has to take her whole team with her, because her producer Abby is amazing. And I, all of that, but the through line here is that I would have a ritual of, drinking coffee and watching Good Morning America. I'm sorry, Michelle Collins. I, in grad school, preferred GMA to the Today Show. Now I don't know what I prefer, but I did really like, so my favorite people on Good Morning America, there's the main anchors on Good Morning America. They were fine. But the ancillary people, I love Jesse Palmer and I love Tom Yamas. And Tom Yamas now works for NBC News. So maybe NBC has got the edge now. And if they get Michelle Collins, then I mean, game over. But, you know, it's funny. Well, I was just thinking that GMA feels more like Disney and NBC feels more like a little edgier than GMA. But of course, GMA is ABC and that is Disney, so that all makes sense. But anyway, I would have morning coffee. So I started this by saying that I reached new echelons, new levels of being basic, and that is because, sorry, circling back to the initial tangent that started this off, is there was this annoying celebrity interview on the Michelle Collins show where the woman was like, oh, I'm obsessed with like knowing exactly how you have to order things. Like, I would go to a salad place and be like, you have to get this salad, but like without the avocado. And it's like, no, okay, that's not a skill. That's just being incredibly picky and annoying. However, it is fall, almost fall, so it's almost pumpkin spice season, pumpkin spice latte season, and I kind of wanted a pumpkin spice latte on Sunday, but one, I couldn't order it in the app, and two, I didn't want the calories. So you guys know my go-to coffee order is an Americano with an extra shot. Well, I feel like I reached new levels of being basic because I now have a special little Starbucks hack that I think is really just the bee's knees. So let me make sure I've got it here. So definitely still an Americano with an extra shot. Now, here's how to get to that next echelon. If you do a splash of coconut milk, which is different for me, typically I drink my coffee as black, but every once in a while I love a splash of almond milk, but I decided to go with a splash of coconut milk, and you can add in pumps of the pumpkin sauce. Now, yesterday I did two pumps of the pumpkin sauce, And it was really perfect because it gave you just that like hint of pumpkin, but it wasn't overly sweet and it wasn't a million calories. So that I loved. I would say if I were to do it again, I would probably only do one pump of the pumpkin sauce because two pumps was almost too much. I worry that one pump will be not quite enough. So I guess my new level, I guess I'm not fully at the next echelon of being basic because I don't have it down to an exact science. So let me experiment with that and get back with you. But that's the episode, folks. We got there. We freaking got there somehow. Thank you so much for listening. Please, 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 for the love of God, share this on social media. Tweet it out. Share it on Facebook. I'm tired of doing all the work. Where's my danticizers at? Share this. Rate me 5 stars. Follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. Until next time, this has been Dan's Dabble and Babble. I will see you next week, maybe, if I get an episode out. We'll see.